How's it going? Is it you?
We're working there. Culture?
Culture.
So it's probably one of the strongest. Because that way, the sense of the arts community.
A location.
Location is the.
Well, you know, we're centrally located between various.
I've never visited Spain because I live at the end of the world, so.
Yeah, you do not. You live in a.
That's what they tell me.
Living a dirt road.
So we think we're centrally located, but the eyes of other people, we're on the way.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. But when they get here, they don't wanna move.
Yeah, that's different.
We have to spread the word that we are a great location.
Well, that's it, communication. Why, we have all of these things, why aren't, other than houses for them to live in, why wouldn't they want to live here?
Internet. I say internet.
Yeah, okay, internet.
We've got to put the internet there, because a lot of what we're talking about, the idea of big downtowns and all that stuff is gone in rural Nova Scotia, it's gone in rural Canada. And so we're not gonna, we're probably never gonna get a full retail downtown anytime soon. But what we do see is more people coming here who wanna work from home, who can't function unless they have internet. I mean, I know somebody moved to Calgary because they thought they were getting internet, they're gonna start a business, and they left because.
Great example, there's a young couple came to Greenfield to live. He had to go back to Halifax because he could have worked off his computer, worked in Dallas, he had to go back. He had to leave.
I think of also too, we're missing out on really on the helping community. One thing I do like about down at Bridgewater, going to these housing commission meetings and things, you see what they're doing down at Bridgewater. United Way, they bring in the phone plan, these bring in an iPhone 5 or better, and they take them and give them to people who need those for it to help find work and things like that. And they got bicycle programs for the kids. They've got clothing programs to give to people who have needs. They are a helping community where we just kind of like you're on your own.
No, we're very helpful.
No, and that way we're not.
Are those nonprofit community groups that are doing that service?
That's United Way.
Yeah. So it's a nonprofit.
Yeah, but either side, we can bury our heads in the sand and say, well, that's got nothing to do with us. We can say it's something we need to get here somehow or another.
So that's probably balanced, because we are a very helping community. If somebody's in need in our neighborhood or in the community, people step up and help them all the time. But we're not necessarily doing all the things that other people are doing in other places.
We help when we hear of a need, but we're not doing anything to go up and try to define to meet it. That's what I'm saying.
That kind of activity, it's not a coordinated effort. It's a, it's a knee-jerk reaction.
That's right.
And so, just to finish this up, is there other things that we're missing to make for economic development purposes for the community? I mean, here's the things
well,
we're saying we've got challenges.
We have good infrastructure, the best.
So what are the things we need? What are the challenges?
Oh,
the challenges. So why don't we have a clothing store here, a clothing store?
We do.
Why don't we have more clothing stores or something?
Because they'll fail, because we already have enough clothing stores. We don't have the, it takes a while to build up the fact that you can have quality.
Where can you buy men's underwear?
Quality.
Anywhere.
Sold in Liverpool.
Where? Frenchies.
Yes. Superstore, firm of choice.
Debbie Holmes.
One person at a time.
Would you invest in a clothing store in downtown Liverpool?
Are we suggesting that?
Would you?
Oh, Lou's Boutique. Yeah, she sells underwear.
Can I just interject for one quick second? I think we have stores here, but I think like getting access to those stores, like for me, I cannot get to a store because I'm working.
Yeah.
They're closed by the time I get off work.
Yeah.
I go on a Saturday if I want to go to the market and do another few things. They're closed at 3 o'clock and I don't get there. So maybe it's not necessarily that they aren't here, but maybe it's that there's not the available hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are not conducive with most working people's schedule, who are going to be the people who are spending the money.
Yeah.
It's hours of operation is a mitigating factor.
It is.
So I would say
closing on Mondays, as an example.
Oh yes.
Or not being open Friday nights is not a positive.
Like my sister works on Saturdays and Sundays, and Monday was always her day to go do shopping,
mm-hmm.
and or go to lunch and have a date or something. There's no place here.
you have to look at cause and effect with that as well, because
there's only one person running those businesses.
There's one person running that store.
Yeah.
And if there's nobody around on weekends, and if we're not working hard to bring things to the forefront on weekends, that person can't afford to hire someone else. So it's just an endless circle of, and no fault of their own.
So it's the chicken and egg, is it?
It's absolutely chicken and egg.
Is it because no one's open, or is it because nobody's coming to buy product?
I think they're both the same.
They're equal.
New people, new businesses move to town, they automatically take the hours of everybody else, say, on Main Street, because everyone else is closed on Monday, they're closed on Monday, because everybody in the town knows that everyone's closed on Monday, so nobody's coming to town on Monday, so why should they be the only one open?
And to add to that, one quick point, if you're looking at a sizable store coming in, they want to rent, they do not want to build a building, and the rental space is insufficient to meet some of these. And I'll give you an example, Giant Tiger requires 20,000 square feet, they will not build. We have nothing in the area close to 20,000.
They also won't come to a town that has 2,000 people, and another business 20 minutes away. So, but that's...
There's a number of issues.
Absolutely, but what I'm saying, it's not just square footage. It's a smart business move for them, or a strategic business move for them, not to build 20 minutes away from the very successful...
And they will not build, they will only rent. Some other stores are in that same situation, they will not build, they will only rent. And what we need developers to look at building retail space if we have a need for larger space.
And so what this suggests is we need to be more innovative in taking space. Think that a big box down here, they're not. And so what if you had the old Sandy store, what if you had four or five people that got together and did a little cooperative in there? One could sell men's clothes, one could sell Canadian Tire stuff, because some people are still in denial of Canadian Tire being rebuilt. they have nothing to do on Saturday morning, so they always go to Canadian Tire, but they can't do it anymore. What if you did things like that and thought differently, as opposed to just going out and expecting the big box stores to come?
Well, and also big box stores often shut down small local businesses. So, thank you. Or can. So I agree, like, building, like, creating opportunities for kind of the small guys to have a more diverse selection of goods is a good, like, it's a good thing. It's more people working for themselves. It's great.
And should our strategy then be, when we're looking at strategy, is developing more internal Queens County-based entrepreneurs, people to help them develop their business plan, develop their marketing strategy, work with a COA, work with social opportunities, work with the community college, those type things, to develop people in the community, develop their skills, to almost hold their hand to get them into the business world. Because if they're there, and if they do it with a couple people, like a cooperative, so it's similar like an incubator mall system down here.
Yep.
You start small, and then once you you make some money, you be successful, you go a little bigger, and then maybe you branch off on your own eventually. But in the interim, if you put a bunch of them together, then there's less risk of failure, because you're all marketing, you're all generating marketing materials, you're all trying to get people in the store, and should our focus be on things like that, as opposed to going out? Because this strategy doesn't talk about going out and getting any Michelins, doesn't talk about getting any industries. And so what's being proposed is, we're not going to spend any time focusing on that anymore, we're going to focus on the other stuff that we think we can have success at.
I think, Chris, one of the things, and this may not be very popular, at the end of the day, if we look at that whole list and we look at our structure just within the region, just within this building, we have the same positives and the same negatives. And until we have that vision that we're not going to go out and start looking for the Michelins of the world, and having economic development instead of being the poor cousin, you know, that's the way it's been looked at as far as I'm concerned, and having that be the driver, because planning has to work with economic development to drive the things that we do well and the things we need to do. Public works, the finance side of it, I think we have to start building the culture that economic development is the driver of what we want to do as a council and what we want to do as a region, and having the other pieces fit that. The very first statement, Jenny, you put up there, what's our mission, you know, and everything that they do, you know, whether it's getting a building permit or whether it's getting a development permit, it has to have some kind of a link to the economic development people as to why we live here. So,
and
you're not gonna live here if you're gonna have to go through loops and hoops to get a friggin' permit to do that. You're not gonna live here if you can't get health care and stuff like that. We start building that infrastructure within our own bounds and under our own administration, then that culture will spread as well. It'll spread throughout council, it'll spread throughout staff, and it will be reflective in the community, I think. But I think we have to all of a sudden, like I said, instead of running into these silos, department to department to department, let's have the mission of economic development be the driver. And that's one thing I heard here today that's encouraging, because everything else fits with what we want to do. That those other departments have to fit with what we want to do.
I hope you're going to tell them that.
Pardon me?
I hope you're going to tell them that.
I have no problem telling them that. I already look at two of the three documents that are out there. One is the recreation piece, one is the one you just presented today, and the other piece is in the study of the planning side of it. Well, you can plan forever and a day. If it doesn't link to what economic development wants to do, it's a waste of a document. If you build recreation programs without having a focus as to why you want people to live here, it's a waste of a document. It's a waste of energy, and to me, I'm passionate about that side of it. And I think we've got to have that driver, and we've got to start living to that standard and having one clear, simple vision and work from it. And why we live here, Chris, is a good title for that. How it all fits. I said it might not be popular, but I said
that's what it's true.
I think there's so many opportunities, like with this list, it gets your mind working a little bit. And I know that in the past, with reference to the stores, department stores, and the men's clothing, that sort of thing, years ago there was always this opinion that, gosh, suppliers will not supply a small store, you have to buy so much in bulk in order to be able to open up a store. But that's not the way it is today with global marketing. I mean, I know where Lilith buys her things, and she can order 5 or she can order 500. So there's no excuse of anybody that says they have to put in a lot of money for their inventory. And I really like the partnership and the cooperative effort, because that's how Lilith started. She started out with Oscar's, when it was a flower shop, and there were 3 people in that one location where Oscar's is now.
Mm-hmm.
And they all branched off into their own, and they're all operating, I think, in some capacity. And, you know, and that's really what you have to work at, is
mm-hmm.
we don't have the resources to be independent. And, you know, my daughter owns a print shop, you know, and she sources out a lot of jobs now. She does some in-house, but she now is more affordable for her to source out jobs and still be able to make an income. Because today things are not made locally. Anything we buy is not made locally. So as long as you carry the resources and you carry the products that people want, and it's within your capacity to do that, then you have to change your way of thinking in that regard. And buying local is great. You're supporting a local business, and whether they make it or not is redundant. Really.
Councilor Frehley?
Well, we just gave a presentation this morning about what we heard at the convention, and one of the things was looking at your downtown differently. And I just heard Chris say that we will never fill all the stores, we'll never have retail, we'll never...
I didn't say that.
Well, but you're alluding to we'll never be back to the way it was before, which is true. So now we have to look forward, and just like this gentleman said, we have to rethink how we look at those towns. So, because, you know, you can have a department store there, but you know 90% of the people are still gonna go 20 minutes down to Walmart and buy from there. So we have to really start looking at what we want our town to be and what services we can offer and to make us a complete town, because the town of 1970 is never gonna happen again. And you can't bring the Canadian Tires, you can't bring them back. But you can look to our neighbors who have done a great job. There's no retail space empty in Mahone Bay or Lunenburg, because they've reinvented what the town should look like in the end. So I think that's a very important part of the process as well,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, what can we do? And, you know, we've got people like the new bakery
and she's actively out there bringing people in to look at other businesses. She's looking at other buildings. So these are your ambassadors that are, you know, have a successful business and that are looking to bring other successful people in. So there's so many different ways you can look at that downtown, but it's important to not get stuck in that.
Is that the key?
Waiting for people's store to come
in. Is that the key about the homegrown stuff of the people that are coming in, that are living here now, that are working here now,
yeah,
and businesses are promoting it, rather than us spending tens of thousands of dollars trying to market ourselves somewhere else for some developer somewhere, that we think we can get a lot more bang for our buck by supporting local people, supporting people maybe from Halifax that want to come here and retire, those types of things, to generate more business and maybe build new buildings, or how do we support that with infrastructure and marketing and all those types of things.
Right.
And that's what we're saying here. That's where our focus needs to be.
I think so.
And less focus on some of those bigger things that other people talk about for many years.
Oh, absolutely. But there's people that are doing it successfully, so let's talk to, you know, Sandra Lilith is a prime example. She started in the corner. She now just expanded. So she's growing, and has customers from Yarmouth to Halifax. So let's find out like-minded Sandras, and who's she talking to, and the bakery people, and you know, it's all there. It's just, how do we corral it?
And the women in business next week hopefully will bring up some people who are interested in business.
Yeah,
females.
So.
How are you doing it? You took a risk. Weren't you scared?
Everyone's
scared.
Where'd
you get your financing? All that stuff. So that stuff hopefully will encourage. Maybe there'll be one or two people there that'll take the leap.
And how can we help you to grow even bigger, or what can we do to help you? So.
And I think well, at that event, it'll also have like a trade show type element that will have like the South Shore Opportunities Agency, BDC, Nova Scotia Works, Acadia Entrepreneurship Center, who are going to have information available and have somebody there representing the organization to give information out to people who might be interested in how they can grow their business or starting a business or whatever. But also, I think speaking to the downtown, like for me, on like a more personal level, I think having like a unique downtown, like that's why people go to downtowns in rural areas, because they have things that you can't get anywhere else.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not gonna go downtown to a chain store. I'm gonna, you know, like I like shopping downtown.
Yeah.
And if I have to get generic things, well then you can get them in other places. But but I do think like an arts and cultural focus downtown with unique businesses and a vibrant community culture is really, like, you were going to say something and I interrupted.
That's okay. I would say all of that really leads into one thing, which is the piece that we really need to do better is telling people about it. So we've got all this good stuff. We've got a lot of things that we can work on that are aiming in the right direction to making a place livable, but the piece that we haven't really got right yet is telling people about it. And I think, you know, the big piece of work coming up is about that messaging. It's about identifying those elements of Queen's County that we want to tell people about, and how to get the word out in an effective manner. And that is bringing people, a lot of these problems will be eased when you reach critical mass of population. And, you know, as Councillor Johnson was saying, you know, having a single, maybe not even single, but having a clear focus of what we're all aiming at. We're all aiming at the same thing, and whether the mandate of one department or another department, if we're all aligned in a similar fashion at what we're really, all of our work aims towards, it's going to bring more people. More people bring critical mass for shops and business. So it's about telling people, getting the word out.
And that comes back to having a vision.
Yeah.
Because,
you know, the vision's got to come
when
first.
When you say the word branding, it scares me.
No, I hate the word. Yeah.
You need to have a vision of what you're going to be before you can brand any of that. And that's, we've been saying that for 6 years. You know, and we still keep writing branding. And I'm really hoping that you guys understand that.
I purposely used the word messaging, because we've got to understand what it is that is the core important component here before we then try and go and sell it. Yeah. But it's sales and marketing. That's what's needed.
But you guys, as 2.3 people, feel you can do all of that because that's such a huge part of the success of all of that. And what I'm hearing is, you know, you're tied up days with trying to get Christmas wreaths, and that marketing always goes to the bottom of the pile.
The pizza party anymore, but the lights on the wreath is the tree.
We didn't know that.
He just made that up. But good idea. But no, we really are putting lights on wreaths. So if you'd like to come put lights on wreaths, we will have pizza. Chris is buying it. But I think for the branding, like that's something, I mean, I have no experience, I'll be straight up, I have no experience in branding and marketing. I don't think Richard does either.
We don't want you guys to brand.
Dana is awesome at designing and doing things, but like, who am I to come in and say what Queens County is, right? So I think that we are going to have to get a consultant to do that. I mean, that's the...
Once you have a vision.
Yeah.
Yes.
What we can do, though, is facilitate. And so one of the things that was highlighted as a, you know, as something that we want to gain capacity within the department for is that facilitation role. Be able to go out, you know, either to the community, to the business community, to stakeholders, to all of the other agencies, and facilitate what that vision might be, that people enough people believe in that they can adopt it and get behind it,
and be able to communicate why they should show up. Like, I think getting people in the room is a big, like, I went to the Upland thing for Liverpool. Was like 30 people in the room, and half of them were for councillors and staff. And I, so I think getting people out to those kinds of events is really important. So figuring out how to do that is going to be, because I feel, you know, to have like meaningful consultations or engagement with community, you have to have more than the loud voices who always show up, right? You need to really dig in and find a way to get those people out. So.
If I can just add that, well, I'm just going to respond to something you just said, Jenny, about the branding, and that we're not in that profession, or we're not in that business for branding. We aren't experts in it. But really, I think we are, and the community is, and I really would very strongly hesitate in hiring another consultant to come in and do our branding, because we've done that so much in the past, and we've just got back to square one again. And this is what Upland were doing. They asked the question, what is your vision? What do you want? And the vision is making a vibrant, great community for people to want to come here and live here and be comfortable and safe. That's what our vision is. But we have to find ways of doing it. And so that's just one comment I want to make there. My original comment was, we have great businesses in Queens, and I know we have the business awards, that is Bilderberg Queens Business Awards, which is done by a sort of a voting basis. Mm-hmm. However, in the past, our council, very well done, complimented and recognized local businesses in the length of time they're in business, how they contribute to the business community and to the consumers, and I think we should continue that. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you're out there acknowledging and complimenting businesses, they are very proud. And we want this to be a proud community. Community pride is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Business pride is a big thing. So I think that's something that we should really concentrate on as well. And publicly acknowledge them, like mm-hmm. we've done before. It doesn't have to be anything very costly. Just bringing them in and recognizing them. Because there are a lot out there that a lot of people don't even know about. Mm-hmm. Home-based businesses. Good or services to the community. So I think we should look at something like that as well.
Councilor Clancy?
I think, you know, with the competition out there, that's we should reach the bottom line. We all do it, right? Mm-hmm. But some of the clothes and stores and things like that are going to suffer. Because it's a lot easier, the older you get, it's easier to hit a button than mm-hmm. it is to try to get in the car and get around and get to where you want to go. So a lot of those bigger things are going to be, it's going to be the uniqueness of what you have that's going to really sell it. And especially during the summertime, when you have things that has a unique store, unique brand, unique whatever it may be, it sells something that's unique, you know, so to speak. That's the big thing that's going to, and that's where little towns are going. Like, you know, I look at King Street over in Great Barter, it's dying, right? Like there, you know, like Ropey's has been there forever, but also this, you know, just dies because you only have one thing you're selling, right? And so I think uniqueness is going to keep things around. The one concern though I have though, and I'm bringing up along with this, is right over here with the call center building. You just kind of just ignore it. It's there. It's a big lump. Is there anything in the future that we're looking at trying to do, or could we just say we're just going to continue to heat it?
So I guess the question is, do you want that as part of the strategy to become more aggressive with finding more attendance for the call center?
Mm-hmm. I think it's costing us a fortune just to have it there and keep up, and even if it, I don't care if it's storage, at least it's money. You know, I'm not saying that way. I don't want to be storage, but you know, I think we kind of just ignore it.
I think the challenge with the call center is that it started off as a call center in the entire building. It was designed to be a one business operation.
Yeah.
The washrooms, the kitchen facilities, all of that is central. And in order to split it up into two tenants, it requires a significant expenditure of the Region of Queens to isolate or duplicate. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, will the tenant be happy with whatever other client is brought in? So that is an issue that's unfolding
over the next year or two. But if it's a priority, then we'll calculate the cost to do that.
I think we should. And I've heard that story before, you know, not story, and it's the truth. You know, that it's, we only have one set of washrooms, we only have this and that, so you only have, well then, what's it going to cost to make that into something that's feasible and usable and rentable? Then you just continue to heat it.
So the issue is, it's not that it can't be done.
Yeah.
It's an issue that it's a significant expenditure to do it, unless you have a tenant that will come in. So I think you need to find the tenant before you spend the money on renovation.
It depends on what the tenant is as to what renovations are going to be needed. Because I know in this building itself, the registry office was on the other end. They shared washrooms with us in the kitchen. They did everything, you know. So that's not saying that it isn't possible. Depending on what the business is or who's in there as another tenant.
Well, I think it's a chicken and egg thing. It goes back to this. You know, what do you want to accomplish?
Okay.
What do you want to do? What's the central point that we're trying to focus for? Is it worthwhile making those renovations to try to get to that end goal? It's having a vision in the district. We don't see that. We get caught in the weeds. We spin our wheels with whether we have one washroom or two washrooms. How does it fit with the overall, what we want to accomplish? Jenny?
So I don't know the history, but why do we own this building?
We built it.
We built it. Okay, just curious.
So this leads to a very good conversation on the basis that the economic development strategy, as I see it, is to work within the area to cultivate support, increase business, grow the community. The shortfall that I'm seeing is that although we may never find another Michelin, we can't sit and wait for the knock on the door. We need to also reach out and touch some businesses. Those that would hire 10, 25 employees are doable. And I know we're with 2 1/3 staff. I know our limitations. I fully appreciate that. And we had less staff during the spring and summer until we were lucky enough to find a good candidate in Jenny. But we also have an opportunity coming up. The Regional Enterprise Network is now winding up. We may have an opportunity to formulate a Region of Queens REN. We may be able to utilize that avenue to perhaps reach out and try and attract some small business. So that's an opportunity. I don't want us to just say we're not going to do that outreach to attract new business. I think we need to keep our eye on the ball that the growth of the Region of Queens means more jobs and more employees, which then in turn require more apartments, more houses. So it's a struggle, and we need to balance our abilities, and at this point in time, it is a huge struggle, but we may be able to find a way around some of that.
And
it'll be a future discussion. Yes, Jane.
I think when we have that messaging too, when we have that messaging right, then there's an opportunity to bring that out there at to businesses and to go out looking for that kind of stuff. But I think getting the message right is really important too.
Agreed. Any other counselor have a question or comment? Counselor McLeod.
I like sessions like this. I do. Very, very constructive. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for all your input. Really, it was.
So I guess the question I have, do Jenny or Dana or Richard have anything to add at this point?
I'm Dana.
I lost the other two thirds of my brain in the office, and there are another thing.
So much like the recreation stuff, so Megan is working on that stuff now and talking about strategy. In the next couple of months, you'll see some of that stuff in fruition, see some stuff back to council. So now the direction to the economic development staff is to do the same thing, is to take these thoughts and ideas, start working on the strategy part of it, but we don't stop working on the other stuff that we're doing on a daily, day-to-day basis for growth and housing and all those other projects. We keep doing those things. So we keep working on that, and then eventually this is all going to feed into budget discussion. So when it comes time for budget time in December, January timeframe, then we'll have a reasonable background as to what plans are, what's coming up, and what's in the budget, why is the budget, to help us be more productive during the budget discussions and so on and so forth. So the plan is the next meeting on the 27th. Mike McLeod, the planning staff, will be here. They'll do their planning stuff too. And then we can talk about the linkages between planning and economic development, planning, recreation, those things. And then meeting in December will be engineering and public works. So we'll do that meeting in December. That's the point. They will come and present their plans and their aspirations and all the stuff that they do as well in early December.
So, yes, Councilor Phillips?
I'd like to ask a question. So there's been lots of talk about, you know, the small department. If we need a mechanic in another area of the region, we know that we have to have a mechanic. So we go out there and we advertise and we hire a mechanic and we pass it in the budget. If we think that this is a priority and that we're lacking certain things, why would we simply not look at getting additional staff?
We will, once we know what the strategy is and where the weaknesses are, where the challenges are, where we need to focus our energies. And so once we start developing these, then we'll do an assessment to see if we have the capacity in-house, and whether we hire extra staff or we contract it or something like that. So that will take place as we develop all this stuff.
And what are you looking at for a time frame before we can make that decision? This isn't a year down the road, 2 years down the road.
No, this is all feeding into budget. So come time, budget time, January, okay, February. No. So we'll start initial budget stuff in December.
That's one of the
but then
pressure.
January, February, we'll have those hard discussions about this is what the plan is.
Okay.
How do we get it done? And how do we get it done well, and not
that,
just
Christine.
A warm body in the seat, but we have the right
that's
people.
That's all I'm asking. Perfect. Thank you very much.
Because until we decide whether we need a full-time staff person, a part-time, or a contract, or we contract it out, we need to know exactly what it's going to look like to find the best people.
I'm agreeing with that. Thank you very much.
Councilor Fancy, do you have a comment?
Yeah, just one question. I think you put it under economic development. The painting of those styles, whatever they're called again, styles or whatever. The
stakes.
Yes. Sways, I get it out of it.
Oh, it's Sways.
That was supposed to be in the fall. Is that still going to happen this year?
It is, yeah. They're just doing the sidewalk work, redoing all of it now, and it's going to take place, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Unless it snows and it'll be canceled this time.
So, counselors, we've had one member of the public who's been patient all day, and I know it's not normal protocol, but I think Mr. Cox would like to say something briefly.
Oh, sure.
With your permission.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Come on down.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. This has been an afternoon that really lifts my heart to hear positive comments in regard to economic development. It's been something that we sort of set back and had the idea about somebody's going to see a need and something is going to come, and if it does come, then we'll support it as we always do. Over the years since Canadian Tire left town, we have developed a culture in town and in the county that there's no sense of going to Liverpool. You can't buy anything there. If you're going to go to Bridgewater, then you might as well go there for everything and you can make one trip. that, I gather that we have to maybe dust off a couple of those studies that Councillor McLeod alluded to, sitting on the shelf, and try and change that culture to, if you want to buy it, we'll have it in Liverpool. Over the past couple of months, I have been very discouraged trying to shop in Liverpool because the retailers do not want to retail. I was looking for a dresser, and I've been all over the South Shore trying to get a particular dresser. The only one that came close to what I wanted to, and I might as well name the business, it was in Home Hardware, Home Furniture's catalog. I asked them if they could order it. Well, we don't know. So they called two or three people, and they said, are they willing to pay for it up front? Well, no, I'm not prepared to pay for it up front, because all I'm looking at is a picture in the catalog. If it comes in, and it's close to that, then I will certainly buy it, because you've gone to the trouble of ordering it. But the word from the top was, no, if we bring it in, or Home Furniture send it in, then we can take his name and phone number and call him. I went to Gals in Bridgewater. I walked in and asked if I could see their catalog. I picked out the item in the catalog. He called me and said it is in Bridgewater. Now I'm not ready for it because I passed on, but I will be getting it next week. And because I'm shopping from out of town, they're going to deliver it free of charge and install it in my house. Well, that is a difference in the marketing between communities. And, you know, it's been mentioned several times in the room, there is no men's clothing in Liverpool. And we have businesses who have said, well, I'll look at it, but they haven't gone that next step. I mean, if you brought some items, say men's pants and underwear and this sort of thing in so that people would start coming, then eventually you can go into a few jackets and a few caps and this sort of thing and expand as the need provides. But, you know, I have been amazed that the work that is being done by our economic development staff with the limited resources that they have. And I was part of the council that did look at that as a positive item as well. So I know where we're all coming from. But, you know, it's, you have to have a specific job for somebody to do. You can't just bring them in and say, now we got one more person in there, so all the problems are going to be solved. It just won't work. But I'm very pleased to see that the thinking is there, and as the bunch of deliberations bring on more ideas and this sort of thing, maybe we can get a little more specific in the assignments, and maybe not completely eliminate, but reduce some of the duplication of efforts where we're saying, Public Works has to have trucks available to put these things up, and somebody else has to order them, and somebody has to look out for procurement, this sort of thing. If we make these more specific, and everybody knows that it's going to happen at a particular time, I know it needs a little coordination, but everybody's had a long day, and I'm not going to take any more time, but I do appreciate the opportunity to say a couple of words in relation to this. My background has been in business, and I've been on Chambers of Commerce and Board of Trades and Regional Board of Trades and this sort of thing, that every community has been through this. It's not limited to just the region of Queens. But we do have to get the word out to people in the county or in the region that we are open for business. People can buy in their community things that they need. And I think that if certain businesses just add a little line, they may not have to hire more staff. It's just a matter of putting that thing in there and let people know that they have it.
you, Bill. So if we have nothing further to discuss on this issue today, a motion for adjournment would be in order. Moved by Councilor Frelick, seconded by Councilor Muse. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous, and we are adjourned.